Mic check. All right, now everybody, welcome on back to Simple Faith Baptist Church, where the Bible changes us, we don't. Anybody? We don't change the Bible. Come on, guys. You guys know our alma mater around here. Let's get with it. All right, y'all. Well, we're just going to quickly go over some announcements before we get started. As usual, we want to thank everybody for coming on out tonight. We know that a little rain shouldn't stop Christians from gathering. We know a little something-something shouldn't hinder us from fellowshipping. Amen. We're going to meet in all seasons. You can look through the book of Acts from all the brethren who are an example of those that obviously fellowship through all seasons. Amen. So rain is nothing. What is that to keep us from fellowshipping? But for those of you guys that are online, you guys are missing out on some good champurrado and some good food and fellowship. So we want to thank those of you guys for coming on out. Amen. All right, guys, as you guys can see here on our website, contact information, regular schedule, announcements. We are doing our Sunday school starting at 1 p.m. on Sundays. Currently studying through the book written by Pastor James W. Knox of the Bible Baptist Church of Deland, Florida, titled A Sure Foundation. We are also studying the book of Romans for our Sunday service at 1:45 in chapter number 8. And then also we have our online apologetics of About Mormons. I'll show you a cool little link in regards to that so you guys can check it out. So we're going to click here on prayer. I'm not sure about you, but I know that I need prayer, amen, for my family, for the lost of my family, that the Lord would save their soul by sending Christians to share the gospel. I know that you need prayer for your health, your body, whatever it is that you need prayer for. Please submit a prayer request online, and we as a church would love to continue to keep you in prayer. We're thankful for Sister Renee coming on back. Let's keep her in prayer. She is having a physical ailment with her body. She had an accident the other day falling down. We want to keep her in prayer that she'll get well soon, and keep everybody in prayer. Amen. We want to be a prayerful church, as the scriptures command us here, for our governing authorities and our family members, etc., etc. Current and future ministries. Every Saturday we go soul winning. At least we try to, where there is nothing else that we have committed as a church to do. Other than that, we will be going out this Saturday by faith. Amen. 4 o'clock, downtown Oceanside. Please join us if you can. The more, the merrier. We are going to hopefully have our new t-shirts and flyers. Praise God. For those of you guys who know, we use our t-shirts for evangelistic tools, and we want to provide those to you if you commit to go evangelizing with us. We want you to represent so you can spark a conversation. Wednesday night Bible study fellowship, future trip in Sonata. In the future, maybe we'll go in December. I'm not sure yet. This is how you can get connected. Livestream link, YouTube, Periscope. Check this out, guys. Podcast. How awesome is that? People are like, what is that, Brother Carlos? A podcast is a cool website where you can upload anything you have in an audio format. So now our church officially has a podcast channel. And you want to know what's even cooler? If you have a smartphone, which I hope you do, all you got to do is look on your App Store. If it's an Android Play Store, if it's a iPhone, your Apple Store, you look for this application called Podbean. You type in Podbean, and then you're going to search, once you download the app, Simple Faith Baptist Church. You can officially subscribe to our channel direct. And so now, not only do you have the pleasure of seeing yours truly online. No, I'm just playing. It's not about me. It's about the word. You guys can hear the preaching that we do at this church right there. So you don't have to have the YouTube or the Periscope open the whole time, but you can now have the app playing the sermon while you're doing everything else, because it'll stay in the background. That's what I like about the podcast, is you can play it in the background. So praise God for that. You can follow us and support us. And look, hallelujah, we got 8 downloads. Woohoo! Somebody downloaded our messages 8 times. Praise God for that. So we are going to officially do that with our teachings. We're going to upload it in a podcast format. Amen? So let's go back here to the YouTube announcements. When you go on YouTube, we have these teachings, like I said, about Mormons and online apologetics, where we are studying the origin of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. So the next time you talk to a Mormon, you will be that much more equipped on how to answer them. So if the YouTube channel ever does load up in the future, I'll show you how to access those teachings to help train you and teach you and equip you with some good historical knowledge and Bible knowledge. So look at this here. We just did our About Mormons Part 4, and on the playlist, and by the way, I do my best, guys, to update our playlist so that way you don't have to struggle finding a certain sermon. You can just quickly go here. We're going to go here to our About Mormons study, and before it starts playing, I'll pause it there, but that's pretty much it where you guys can access that, okay? All right. So with that said, Bible study, resources, and helps. This is a great link where you guys can add to your faith knowledge from other great Bible-based preachers and teachers of God's Word that have been doing it a lot longer than we have. So that way you guys can get more sound teaching from different perspective. And then lastly but not least, guys, if you are a member of this church, I hope you are. I hope you remain faithful in your financial commitment to honor the Lord in your offering. Just know that it's whatever you purpose in your heart. We're not fleecing you. We're not commanding you that if you don't give, God's not going to bless you. You know we're not that type of church. We have a little box right there. It's between you and the Lord. Take care of that. Or if you want, you can donate online and everything is handled faithfully. Amen. And last but not least, guys, we're going to do a quick view at our calendar. So we were just discussing right now, next Wednesday, if the kitchen here at the new church house that we are renting from is available, and the dining hall, we're going to rent it out. No, well, not rent it. We're just going to ask permission to use it so we could have our Thanksgiving to God dinner, church dinner that day. And it's going to be a potluck sign up. So please see Sister Renee for any more information. She's going to be taking down everybody's information as to what you want to bring so we can make sure that we have supplies ready next Wednesday on the 27th. Instead of a Bible study, we're just going to have a time of dinner, fellowship, prayer, and testimonies. People can share their testimonies. Go ahead. What is that? We're going to try. Maybe 6 o'clock. Maybe 6. That way it'll give people enough time after they get out of work. The 27th is Wednesday. The 28th is Thanksgiving. So the 27th, that's what we're going to shoot for. Amen? Okay, guys. With that said, let's go ahead and get right to it. Amen? Let me just double check that. How about that? Yeah, I think Thursday is Thanksgiving. If somebody can just help me double check that and confirm that, anybody out there, please do me a favor. All right, with that said, guys, let's go ahead and get to the best part of today's Bible study, and that is the Bible. Amen? How about that? All right, now, please do me a favor and go ahead and turn your Bibles to the book of Acts, chapter number 15. Acts, the 15th chapter. And we are going to pick up here where we left off from last week. And praise God for the technology here that we get to fellowship online, and praise God for heaters. Amen. We got a heater in-house. We're thankful for that. The heater is working. Had to dust it off a little bit and then got the cobwebs, and I took the torture to breathe in all the asbestos. So no worries. All right, everybody's good now. No, I'm just kidding. All right, guys. Yes, Thanksgiving is on the 28th. Yes, next Thursday. So Wednesday will be our church Thanksgiving together. So that way on the Thursday, you guys can honor your family traditions if you haven't. All right, Acts 13. Let's go ahead and pick up where we left off in verse number 20. Verse number 20. We are catching up in our study in regards to examples to follow in our overview study of the book of Acts. And we are interpreting it through a historical perspective, where we can find examples to follow. You may or may not find church doctrine that is applicable to you today, that is the acts of an apostle and what they've done, things that you see recorded that are not happening today. Well, these are great examples to follow here, as we see for the very first time in the early church history, doctrine being written. That is teaching from the apostles' mouth by the inspiration of God the Holy Spirit on how to run and govern Christian converts, specifically Gentile converts. And so this is what James the Apostle said, that they would write to the Gentile converts, that they would abstain and obey. And if they do these things in God's sight at this time, it was a well thing for them to do. So Acts 15, 20. Well, let's just pick up from verse 19. Wherefore my sentence is that we trouble not them which from among the Gentiles are turned to God, but that we write unto them, there it is, we write, that they abstain from pollutions of idols. We talked about that 2 weeks ago. From fornication, we talked about that last Wednesday, and if you didn't get a chance to listen to it, please listen to it. That was a very, very good message from the Holy Bible in regards to fornication. We will be finishing up the end of that, and then right here we're going to be picking up for our last two. From things strangled and from blood. For Moses of old time hath in every city them that preach him, being read in the synagogues every Sabbath day. Then pleased it the apostles and elders with the whole church to send chosen men of their own company to Antioch with Paul and Barnabas. So they are going to send this letter to the Christians gathering in Antioch in Syria, namely Judas, surnamed Barsabbas, and Silas, chief men among the brethren. So these two gentlemen were not your ordinary churchgoers. These two men were faithful, and they were faithful in the work of service. They were chief, that is, they were of a higher status in the role of leadership and ministry there in Jerusalem. And they wrote letters by them after this manner. The apostles and elders and brethren send greeting unto the brethren which are of the Gentiles in Antioch and Syria and Cilicia. So now you have three geographical locations to where the Christians are gathering, and this letter is to be read, and maybe obviously by God's providence preserved through copies to be read in all those gatherings. For as much as we have heard that certain which went out from us have troubled you with words, subverting your souls, saying you must be circumcised and keep the law, to whom we gave no such commandment. How about that? The apostles, by the guidance of the Holy Ghost, told the Christians then and preserved for us now that never did they preach the keeping of the law. So when religions today want to preach and teach that you need to keep the works of the law to maintain or gain your salvation, they are subverting your souls and troubling you. Jehovah Witnesses, Mormons, Seventh-day Adventists, Roman Catholics, everybody but Bible-believing Christians. It seemed good unto us, being assembled with one accord, to send chosen men unto you with our beloved Barnabas and Paul, men that have hazarded their lives for the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Here's another great example. You want to be chief in your church? You want to be somebody that is held in high respect amongst your Christian members? Commit your life in such a way to the Lord Jesus Christ that people know that you're not ashamed. Judas and Silas, they hazarded their lives for the name of Jesus. They were committed. They were sold out. They were not ashamed, and they were willing to die, if so need be, for the faith. We have sent, therefore, Judas and Silas, who shall also tell you the same things by mouth. Let everything be confirmed in the mouth of two or three witnesses, according to God's principle throughout time. For it seemed good to the Holy Ghost, that is the first individual that's giving the inspiration to the words through these holy men, according to 2 Peter 1:21. God said, and to us, to lay upon you no greater burden than these necessary things. So whatever follows, it's not a suggestion, Christian. It's not about how you feel. It's a necessary thing. So listen to the necessary things. That you abstain from meats offered to idols. We talked about that. From blood. We're going to talk about that tonight. From things strangled. We're going to talk about that tonight. And from fornication. We're going to finish what we started last Wednesday. From which, if you keep yourselves, you shall do well. Fare you well. Let's go ahead and pray. Father, we thank you for the night. We thank you, God, for allowing us to gather once again in the name of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, allowing us the opportunity, God, to enjoy the freedom we have here in our nation to gather without fear of persecution, without fear of imprisonment for the name of Christ. Although many of our members, many of our brethren around the earth, Lord God, are facing that persecution. Let us not here in America become lazy. Let us not here in America become weary. Let us not here in America make excuses of not fellowship in Lord God when so many of our Christian brethren around the earth are meeting in secret in the fear of death, Lord God, just to read a page of Scripture. So, Lord, we thank you for them that are here. We thank you for them that are online. We pray today, God, that your Holy Ghost will take these words from your holy book Continue to teach us, guide us, convict us in any area of sin within our lives so we can be right in your sight, Father. I thank you, God, and I pray that you would minister to us tonight. Help us to have ears to hear and eyes to see wonderful things from thy holy word so we can grow spiritually. In the name of Jesus, we all say, amen. Let's go ahead and turn our Bibles to the book of Matthew, chapter number 5. Matthew, chapter number 5, and as you go there, remember that we are simply studying what the apostles wrote to the Christians as the Holy Ghost inspired the words to come out of their mouth and to be written so that these Christians, if they were to abstain from these things, they would do well. We read that. If they would abstain from pollutions of idols, from fornication, from things strangled, and from blood. And in the letter, we see it written in Acts 15, 29, meats offered to idols, from blood, from things strangled, and from fornication, from which if you keep yourselves, you shall do well. Jesus taught in the book of Matthew, going down here to verse number 29, Matthew chapter 5, verse number 28. I apologize. Well, you know what? Just for sake of study, let's start from verse 27. Verse 27. Jesus said, "Ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery." That's a good thing. Jesus agreed with that old saying, you shouldn't commit adultery. "But I say unto you, that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery already with her already in his heart." When God writes to Christians in Acts 15 that if they abstain from fornication, they shall do well, they wouldn't get to that physical act of fornicating or adultery if they first took care of the lust that started in their heart. If you're a male or a female here today, it doesn't matter. What God is looking at is your heart. Before you commit the physical act of fornication, which is sex out of holy matrimony, marriage, and obviously a fornicator can be somebody having sex with another married person while they're married, God said, you got there because you didn't take care of that lust that started in your heart. If you take care of that thing, you will not give in to the lust of that flesh. If you surrender that desire and say, God, please, help me from sinning against you. Galatians 5 tells you that God will help you to refrain from carrying out the work of that flesh. Matthew chapter number 5. Let's go ahead and turn our Bibles to Matthew 5. Oh, I'm sorry. Matthew chapter 15. I apologize. Matthew chapter 15. We're just finishing up fornication and then we'll get into the things strangled in blood. Matthew 15. We're going to start down here in verses 18 through 19. Because again, we want to listen to God. We want to obey his voice, and that's how we do it, is by hearing and reading the word. That's all. Jesus responds to Peter and the disciples in Matthew 15, 16 to an earlier teaching. And he says here in verse 16, "Are ye also yet without understanding? Do not ye yet understand that whatsoever entereth in at the mouth goeth into the belly and is cast out into the draught? But those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the where? Heart. And they defile the man." Because earlier they were having a discussion about something outside of the man that defiles him. If you didn't wash your hands before you ate, certain traditions of men the Jews held to be as equality with the authority of the word of God for a man. But Jesus said, It's not from the outside that defiles you, it's from the inside. Your heart is the problem, he says. Those things that you desire and those thoughts that come out of your mouth is because your heart is what starts it all. Look at what the Lord says. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders. Ready now, look at this next one. Adulteries. That's why Jesus could look to you straight in your face and tell you, even though you're standing in front of him, if you lust after somebody in your heart, you've already committed adultery in your heart, because he looks to your heart. Look at the next word. You ready now? What does it say, church? Fornications. Wow. So before the young girl and the young boy stop going to church, they stop reporting to their parents about where they're hanging out at. They keep telling them that they're here and in secret they're not. Before they shacked up and the young girl ended up getting pregnant, ruining her life at a young age, her family being disappointed and shame coming in to their name, the Lord said from heaven, it started in your heart when you lusted after that individual. And the end result of that sin, when it conceives, you know what the Bible says in James? It brings forth death. It's a shame. It's sin. It is not good what comes out of your heart. And foolishly, a lot of our Christian brethren today on the sensational charismatic side say, I am dead to sin. I'm a new man. It's sin that dwells in me, not I. They misquote scripture. I tell that fool, it is still you, fool. You take down that little spiritual ego trying to be all tough and proud. You still lust out of your heart, amen. I still lust out of my heart. I still have this wickedness that dwells in me. That's why Paul says at the end of Romans 7, oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death? Until you depart from that old flesh of yours, that old man and that old woman, you guys are at war. It proceeds out of your heart. Look at the next thing. Thefts. False witnesses. You lie. Blasphemies. You speak heretical things that blaspheme God. These are the things which defile a man. But to eat with unwashing hands defileth not a man. How about that? The Lord said, doesn't matter if you eat that food with a little dirty hands. What matters is your heart. So when we talk about abstaining from fornication or refraining from the sin of the physical act of having sex out of marriage, if you are unmarried and you're living together and you say that you're a Christian, you are sinning against the ordinance of God. You're not going to do well no matter how long, how much you go to church. And if that church or pastor or preacher does not preach against the sin of fornication and says, keep on coming to church, oh young couple or old couple, you know, eventually when you have time, take care of that thing. They are not in abidance with the word and ordinance of God. They're not going to do well. That church is not healthy. Our church, praise God, we're doing well. We're going to preach on this. We're going to stand on this. And we had a young couple come here, and I try to talk to them. And I let them know, friends, if you want to serve God, you want to do it the right way, you got to get married. Unfortunately, the young woman and the young man stopped coming to church. I don't know. I don't know what may have struck their hearts. Maybe it was because we're just trying to help them to honor God. Maybe they don't want to. It's the heart, you see? That's the problem. It doesn't matter how it comes out of your mouth, friend. If you have a friend or a family member or a worker or a neighbor that claims to be a believer and they're living in fornication, you got to tell them the truth. Tell them, you're not doing well. That's what God said back there. Let's go to Romans 1. Romans 1. We know that the fruitfulness of a mind that is reprobate, corrupt, is one of a human who doesn't want to honor God's truth that he has or she has in their conscience. And when they do that, God gives them over to a reprobate mind in Romans 1:28. And a person who lives out a mindset that is corrupt, God says that they're going to be filled with what, church? Hope you have a Bible. Hope you're following along. Being filled with all unrighteousness, Romans 1:29. Fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate. Sounds a lot like what Jesus taught about the heart. How about that? Backbiters and so on and so forth. Go down here to verse 32. Who knowing the judgment of God. You know what God says? People that are fornicating, people that are hateful, people that are murderers, people that are homosexuals, men that are effeminate, women that want to act like men. All those type of acts or actions are derived from the thoughts of the heart of the man or the woman. And God says that is the result of their disobedience against the truth that he's given them. And number two, they know that what they're doing is wrong. They know the judgment of God. That they which commit such things are worthy of death. Not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Why do you think they don't hang around you anymore, Christian? Why do you think they don't call you anymore? Why do you think that they don't want to hang out with you anymore like they used to back in the day? Because they notice something different in you in comparison to themselves. Because you're walking faithfully with God, you're no longer giving over to the lust of your flesh because you're obviously trying to obey God. You want to be led of the Spirit of God. You want to do right. There's not going to be a pleasure in them hanging out with you because you're not doing the same thing. That's why when we talk about backsliders or carnal believers, they go hang out with other backsliders. They go hang out with other carnal believers. They will find a crowd that suits their physical desires and feelings. And that's why a little church like ours is not going to be as popular, because we're going to preach the truth. When people don't want it, they're going to go to a church where they're not preaching the truth so they can feel happy and accepted. Let's go ahead and turn our Bibles to 1 Corinthians 5. 1 Corinthians 5, and what we are doing is simply finishing up our study in the regards of fornication and what God warns about. 1 Corinthians 5, we're going to start in verse number 1. Hope you're paying attention. This is really good. Verse 1. The Holy Bible says it is reported. This is Paul the Apostle writing to the Corinthians. They were saved. They were filled with gifts and knowledge, according to chapter 1. Spiritual. But check this out. It is reported that there is fornication among you. Look at how the Bible doesn't say it was reported once or twice. What is that word? Commonly. It's a common thing. Oh, that church in Corinth? Man, they got all them fornicators over there. That's just what they do. You know those guys. They're spiritual, but you know you're going to have a good time at that church. You know they're not preaching against sin. Everybody wants to hang out at the church in Corinth. It's a sad thing for a church to be known for their fornication. And such fornication as is not so much as named among the Gentiles. Look at what God's Spirit tells Paul to write. These Christians in Corinth, there was somebody up there fornicating in such a way that is not even named among unbelieving Gentiles. What is that? That one should have his father's wife. Wow. You say, Carlos, what does that mean? A son having sex with his mother. How about that? You say, wow, that is gross. Bible is pretty raw. Deals with real people, and it's relevant because, sadly, that sin still occurs throughout the world. Unfortunately, you do have people on the planet, I don't know where, thank God I haven't heard anything lately, where you do have family members in relations with each other. God says that's a sin. And ye are puffed up, and have not rather mourned that he that hath done this deed might be taken away from among you. Oh, Paul, but that doesn't sound so nice. I mean, he just made one simple mistake. Why can't we just, you know, love on him and, you know, as they say, we're just going to love on him right now and work our way through it together. You know what Paul said? Why haven't you kicked that fool out by now? Get that guy out of this church. For verily he is absent in body, but present in spirit have judged already. Yes, that's right. Christians are supposed to judge Christians. As though I were present concerning him, so this individual that hath so done this deed. You ready now? What is the judgment, Paul? Tell us. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when you are gathered together in my spirit with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ, to deliver such an one unto a psychologist. No. To deliver such an one unto fornicators and anonymous. No. To deliver such an one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. That's scary. You don't really read a lot of Paul talking about, yeah, just kick that fool out and give him over to that Satan. You know that old serpent out there tossing humans up, keeping them blind through the ignorance of their hearts, 2 Corinthians 4:4. Isn't that sad? Paul, an apostle, had a right to Christians who were purchased, redeemed by the blood of Jesus, saved by the Holy Ghost, empowered with spiritual gifts, filled with knowledge. But because of that heart that Jesus talked about, they became defiled because they didn't take control of the desire. They're saved. There's the new man. There's the old man. But that old man was stronger. And this individual did that type of sin. You know what Paul said? Kick him out of that church and give him over to Satan. I'm telling you right now, church, in every mega church on the earth, if you were to send a young Bible thumping fundamental brother like me up in that place and we started preaching this, 1 Corinthians 5, I guarantee you 3/4 of that church will all have to leave. Because I'm guaranteeing you that pastor does not know the estate of every relationship in that church as he should. Smaller churches like this, yeah, it's a little bit more easier, obviously, to identify. But whether big or small, we're supposed to remain faithful to the Word of God. Amen. Your glorying is not good. They were puffed up. They weren't even ashamed about this. They were welcoming fornication. Know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? So just a little sin, wherever you accept it, it's going to mess up your whole church atmosphere. It's going to function because, as you can clearly see, the Corinthians were alive. Their church continued to gather, but in God's sight, they were all messed up. Purge out, therefore, the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, for as ye are unleavened, for even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. Keep going down here to verse 9. I wrote unto you in an epistle not to company with fornicators. Now, before we continue, he had already written a letter. We don't have it in the book. So again, although these apostles were used by God supernaturally for the word, these men were not inspired. Only God's words that he put through them divinely were inspired. Although they were great men, they could write outside of the Holy Spirit's unction for encouragement. But in that letter, God did put in that little verse, yep, that's what he wrote about. Yet not altogether with the fornicators of this world, or with the covetous, or extortioners, or with idolaters, for then must ye needs go out of the world. So he's not saying to you, O Christian, don't hang out or company with the unbelieving. We're trying to win the unbeliever. The unbeliever is still dead in sins. They don't know God. They're not forgiven of all their sins in Christ. They're not saved. They don't know any better in a way. But you do. That's why you're trying to win them. You're going to fellowship with your neighbors, your family members that are not Christians. You're going to have dinner because you're hoping that by your good works and your love for them and prayer, that maybe one day they'll say, okay, Letty, or okay, John, or okay, Renee, I want to be a Christian. How do I become a Christian? You know who he's going to tell you to avoid? But now I have written unto you not to keep company if any man that is called a brother be a fornicator, or covetous, or an idolater, or a railer, or a drunkard, or an extortioner, with such and one know not to eat. How sad. He tells Christians not to hang out with other Christians that are engaged habitually in the sin of fornication, drunkard, people that drink alcohol that are Christians, railers, extortioners. We had a question. What is an extortioner? An extortioner is one who practices extortion. You say, what is extortion? Let me quickly look it up for you here. Extortion is the act of extorting, the act or practice of wresting anything from a person by force, duress, menaces, authority, or by any undue exercise of power. It's illegal exaction, illegal compulsion to pay money. So when you extort, you're by force illegally taking somebody's things that are not yours. You know what God says? If you know Christians that are doing that, don't even hang out with them. For what have I to do to judge them also that are without? So without, again, is the word just simply outside. In this context, unbelievers, people that are not saved. Do not ye judge them that are within? Oh, I thought we're not supposed to judge. I thought God only judges me, man. Come on, bro. Who are you to judge? God. God judges. God gave you an authority, the book, the Bible. He gave the words to the authoritative leaders, the apostles, and they wrote it down. And you know what they said? Judge. Don't you judge yourselves, Christians? Shouldn't churches and church leaders judge sin and sinners when they sin in the local church? And shouldn't they appropriately handle that when it happens? According to God, yes, that's what we should do. But them that are without, God judgeth. Therefore, put away from among yourselves that person who just doesn't know any better. That's not what the Bible says, right? Just go ahead and put that person away who messed up. What does God call that brother who sinned? Can anybody say it? Wicked person. That's what God says. So again, that's why the Bible and Bible-based preaching is not so popular, because it doesn't appeal to the senses. It doesn't make people feel good, because when you present more truth than stories and examples, it's not going to affirm and confirm to your flesh that what they're doing is okay. But when you just continue to preach light and truth, it just exposes all the more darkness. But you know what's good about that? Is that when you allow the light of God's word to get in that dark areas of your heart, you're going to be that much more holy. You're going to be that much more perfect or complete in your faith. So I encourage you, just like I was, when I was in this sin, or when I sinned in similar areas in my past, just like you, respond with a heart of repentance and say, God, I'm sorry. I know I shouldn't be doing this with my life. I know I shouldn't be an idolater keeping images in my home or my family's, or I know I shouldn't be fornicating. I know I should have been drinking alcohol. I'm sorry, Lord. All you got to do is just ask him to forgive you. Ask him to help you with that desire to obey his word. And last but not least, in the area of what we should and shouldn't do, how to avoid it, Galatians 5, and then I'll just give you the quotes to the rest of the scriptures. Galatians 5, 19. We'll start here in verse number 16. Galatians 5, 16. This I say then, this is Paul again, the apostle, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. To walk in the Spirit is to obey the Word of God. I'm just going to give it to you in simple terms. You know what God says the answer is to that problem you have? It's because you're not obeying his word from the heart. But when you obey God's word from your heart, you will grow thereby. It will effectually work in you because you're believing. You're not going to carry out the desire. It's been many, many years since I've said one curse word. It's been many, many years since I've smoked or done anything or watched inappropriate things. Because in my heart, I've purposed and desired more to obey his word than that lust of my flesh. And God, by his grace and supernatural presence from the Holy Spirit, helps me to abstain from that thing. In your life today, or Christians today that quote-unquote slipped up or backslid that one night, no, it didn't just happen one night, friend. It happened over time. At one point in your life or their life, they stopped believing in God's word from their heart. They loved the lust more than they did the Lord. And God said, well, you're not going to allow me to take control, so I'm going to give you up to that thing for that time. And unfortunately, you will fulfill the lust of the flesh. And look at what it says. What is the work of the flesh? In verse 19. The works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication. You see how that's like at the top of the list? Because God knows your heart, man. Come on. Uncleanness, lasciviousness, etc. Envyings, verse 21. Murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. Of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. That's why when a brother told me and confronted me about my sin, I said, man, God, I'm sorry. He took that Bible truth and exposed my life. And I said, man, Lord, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, brother. Would you forgive me? I want to do right. And I have. Praise God. The reason why you're here today is because at some point in your life, you said, Lord, I want to do right. So now there's something in your heart that motivates you to still come to church and learn the Bible. Praise the Lord. I'm happy and proud of all of you guys that are here tonight and watching online. So when you do see your fellow Christians that are in that type of sin, you got to give them that book. Tell them, encourage them, edify them. Say, come on, brother, sister, don't keep giving into that because you're going to lose your inheritance. We don't want you to experience that. You can read later on in Ephesians 5, Colossians 3, Revelation 2:14, Revelation 9:21, and Revelation 19:2, all that are references to the lust of fornication. Let's go back to Acts 15:20, and then before we end tonight, we'll talk a little bit about things strangled and blood. Acts 15, verse 20. Why would God teach Christians in Acts 15:20 to avoid things strangled and from blood? In verse number 20, we know that this is in regards to the pollution of idols. When you go down to verse number 29, the context here is meats offered to idols. So we know that in context, it's in reference to food. When it talks about from blood and from things strangled, and the last reference is something spiritual, it's an inward desire, which is the lust of fornication or adultery, which you will do with your whole body. Versus your mouth consuming a thing that is offered unto a deity. Why would God warn Christians not to eat food that has blood and from things strangled? I know before we continue, many of you like to eat your steaks with blood. I know. I know some of y'all like a little pink in your chicken, Brother Taz. I know a lot of you like to eat certain meats with a little bit of blood just because culture. You know, I get it. In the Philippines, man, they love that blood. In Africa, they drink blood straight. I know in some parts of the world, it's what they call a commodity or a special, you know, part of their entree. But what does God the Creator say about it? Again, because we want to say, what does God say about it? Is this okay, really, for me to do? Could there be health problems? Maybe that's why God warns us not to do it. Before we give ourselves to speculation, why don't we just go to the Bible? How about that? Is that okay? Don't get mad at me tonight. Just take it up with the Lord. We got to go all the way back to the book of Genesis in the book, because this is the beginning of everything, obviously. This is the beginning where God did everything and created man and told man what to do and what not to do, right? We get the story. Believe it or not, friends, but from the beginning in Genesis 2, when Adam was made on the sixth day, God only allowed for him to eat fruit. He was a vegetarian. There was no meats to be allowed to be eaten at this time. Genesis 2:8, the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. And out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight, you ready now, and good for food. The tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Keep going down here to verse number 15. The Lord God took the man and put him into the garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, keep a word, keep an eye out for that. It's not a feeling. It's not a suggestion. This is the Creator commanding you to do something. Well, look at what God commanded Adam. Of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. So what do we see from the beginning? The food that was ordained of God from the beginning was every tree that is pleasant to the sight, of every tree in the garden. But then you have the disobedient choice that Adam and Eve did. Obviously, they didn't listen to God. Out of all those beautiful trees in that garden, which God only knows how wonderful that must have looked, the colors and the enjoyment and the sweetness, we don't know. That one little tree that they couldn't put their little hands on, they just so were desirous of it, you know, from Satan's lie. Genesis chapter 3, go down here to verse 17. Look at what God did in response to the man's disobedience. In verse 17, God says, and unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it, cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. How about that? So we see God continuing that same pattern. You see all them trees, son? Well, now it's all cursed. You're going to have to care for that. You're going to have to work from that. And you're going to have to work. You're going to have to eat what you produced with your own hands. He's going to eat that herb. So far, no animals. Are you with me? Let's go to Genesis chapter 6. Genesis, the sixth chapter. We're going to start from verse number 4. Again, these are great portions of scripture. We don't have time to exposit. We're just going for the reference of Acts 15. The Bible says there were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, and they bare children to them, the same became mighty men which were of old, men of renown. So yes, in the beginning, there were physically giant humans. And humans, unfortunately, the women were impregnated by these angels called the sons of God. Before you look at me like, what? I know, Bible has a lot of truth. Hard to believe, hard to swallow, because you think it's imaginary with all your comic book movies you got out there, but it's true. In the last days, some crazy is going to happen. We'll talk about that when we get there in our Bible's reading. God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the heart, of the thoughts of his heart, was only evil continually. Who saw that, guys, according to verse 5? Anybody? Anybody watching here? God. What did God see in mankind on the earth at this time? That every imagination of the thought of his heart was only evil. Who was Jesus teaching on the earth in Matthew 15 about out of the heart proceeds evil and murderous thoughts? You know who Jesus is? He's God. He could say that. Bible says in verse 6, it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the creeping thing, and the fowls of the earth, for it repenteth me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. We know that God judged the world of Noah's day, where both animals and plant life would be destroyed, except that which Noah would take for the journey. Go down to verse 11. The earth also was corrupt before God. Now, aside from mankind, that God said he saw the thoughts of their heart, it was only evil. You know what he also saw? The planet. The planet became corrupt. And the earth was filled with violence. Not good. That's what God said. God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. That is the result of sin. Before Adam sinned and Eve in that garden, all flesh was right. The animals were functioning in a manner that was not violent and corrupt. After sin and over time, by the time you get to know what God said, man, it is wicked down there. Mankind and the beast and the fowl and the creeping thing. He puts the creeping thing in there. It's all corrupt. That's why he's going to destroy it. Are you with me? Verse 13, God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. So we have a lot of violence. Go down to verse 18. But with thee will I establish my covenant, and thou shalt come into the ark, thou and thy sons and thy wife and thy sons' wives with thee. Because of God's grace, through Noah would God bless the repopulation of mankind on the earth and animals which went on the ark, and God would establish a covenant through him. Praise God that where sin abounds, grace abounded the more. Genesis 7. Genesis 7, verse 1. And the Lord said unto Noah, come thou and all thy house into the ark, for thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation. Before we move on, who's talking in verse 1? The Lord. Where does the Lord have to be in order for him to say, come thou? Where is he? He's in the ark. He says, come thou and all thy family in the ark. Isn't that cool? God was in that ark. Praise God. We know that's a type of Christ. Later on, we know this. Of every clean beast. Now look at that. First time mentioned. Before the law of Moses was dispensed through Moses of God to the Jews, God, a long time ago, already told Noah, there's clean and unclean animals. Every clean beast thou shalt take to thee by sevens, the male and his female, and of beasts that are not clean by two, the male and his female. Are you with me? Of the fowls also of the air by sevens, the male and the female, to keep seed alive upon the face of all the earth. For yet 7 days, and I will cause it to rain upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights, and every living substance that I have made will I destroy from off the face of the earth. So now we see that there is a distinction between animals that God deems clean and unclean, and yes, that is before the law of Moses. Genesis 8. Go down to verse number 20. The flood already happened. It subsided. All flesh was destroyed except for Noah and his family. After that ark rested, right, the water subsided. All the animals and the fowl and whatever else Noah took on board came out. Bible says here, Noah built an altar unto the Lord and took of every clean beast and of every clean fowl and offered burnt offerings on the altar. Right after the judgment of the flood, Noah had received an understanding from God somehow, some way, of the proper approach of worship. This is the pattern that we see throughout the rest of the Bible. That in order to appease God's wrath, there needs to be a sacrifice of blood. There needs to be a sacrifice of blood. And in this time, God allowed the sacrifice of animals to appease his wrath. So yes, we see that pattern carry on from Genesis 4 of Abel all the way to Noah's day that required the blood of an animal. And we're going to see why that's important. The Lord smelled a sweet savor, and the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground for man's sake, for the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. You know what God says? When you were a young person, man, you were so evil. When you got older, you're still evil. Teenager, the worst. How about that? Any moms? No, I'm just kidding. That's what God says. That from our youth, we're evil. That's why all have sinned and come short of the glory of God in his sight, because he sees the wickedness in your heart, although outwardly you may identify yourself as a good person. Neither will I again smite any more everything living as I have done. While the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest and cold and heat, summer and winter and day and night shall not cease. So God said he ain't going to do it again like that. Genesis 9, here it is. And God blessed Noah and his sons, and said unto them, Be fruitful, and multiply, and replenish the earth. And the fear of you, and the dread of you, shall be upon every beast of the earth, and upon every fowl of the air, upon all that moveth upon the earth, and upon all the fishes of the sea. Into your hand are they delivered. God introduces that new covenant to be made with Noah and his descendants, and God supernaturally, apparently, instilled within the animal kingdom a subjection of the fear of man. They would be delivered under the hand of man, that is, dominion and care and food. Every moving thing that liveth shall be meat for you. Do you see that? It's not until after the flood of Noah coming off the ark, offers sacrifice to God. God blesses him and says, okay, now, son, all that, you see the living thing? Yep, that's going to be food for you now. So it's not just the fruit of the trees and the herb. It's now the living creatures. Even as the green herb have I given you all things, just like he did. You see that? The fruit and the herb, he's saying, I'm going to allow you to eat the meats. But flesh, are you ready now? But flesh with the life thereof, which is the blood thereof, shall you what? Not eat. You see, I didn't know God's word the minute that I got saved. I didn't know about all that. Obviously, in my Mexicano culture, I'm not saying that a lot of Mexicanos eat blood and they cook that pork carnita real good. They cook that chicken real good. But the beef, obviously, once in a while, there may be some blood. I don't know why. I'm not going to argue with the Creator. He knows best. But there's something about that blood of all flesh that God says, that's your life. The life is in the blood, he says. He doesn't want you to consume that blood. I'm talking to my Filipino friends, my African friends, my Mexican friends. As much as you like to taste blood in that steak, God said, don't do it. I'm just letting you know. Oh, but that's the law, brother. We're under grace. Acts 15, New Testament scripture. Abstain from blood and from things strangled. Come on, church, don't argue with the Lord. Amen. Just say, okay, God, not a big deal, Lord. Let me get that thing well done. Amen. And surely your blood of your lives will I require, at the hand of every beast will I require it, and at the hand of man, at the hand of every man's brother will I require the life of man. And so on and so forth. So now we have capital punishment ordained of God there. Let's go now real quick to the book of Leviticus, chapter number 7. By the time we get to Leviticus, we know that God had given the law to Moses. We know the Jews are the descendants of one man that God separated from all the rest of the world, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. And by the time the Jews grew great, they became slaves in Egypt. God will raise up Moses, deliver them, tell them, I'm going to give you that land. But because they were stubborn, rebellious, God judged them 40 years, but he gave them that law. Amen. And that law, the Ten Commandments and everything else that were in that, the precepts, the statutes, the judgments, that was to govern the Jews while they physically lived in the land of Canaan. The law was not given for the Gentile. But do you see how we just saw one truth given to Noah before the law? It continues through the law, and God makes it applicable to New Testament Christians. Leviticus 7, Leviticus chapter number 7, go down to verse number 26. Bible says here, moreover, ye shall eat no manner of blood, whether it be of fowl or of beast, in any of your dwellings. Whatsoever soul it be that eateth any manner of blood, even that soul shall be cut off from his people. You know what God commanded that Jew? If he finds out that any of them Hebrews were eating blood, God said, Moses, I want you to command them to be taken out. That's how holy God is. That is the instruction of the Creator. He doesn't want the Hebrews to eat blood. To this day, Orthodox Jews don't do that. Amen? Go down to Leviticus chapter 11. We're just learning these things for our example. We know that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it's profitable for doctrine, etc. We're just learning God's Word. What did he give to the Jew? And how does he carry on a principle even for the New Testament church? Leviticus 11. And the Lord spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying unto them, speak unto the children of Israel, saying, these are the beasts which ye shall eat among all the beasts that are in Jerusalem. No. In the land of Canaan. Mm-mm. What does it say? On the earth. God knows the planet. I mean, he created it. He knows all the animals. He knows every creeping thing. And he says, okay, my Hebrew people, I took you out of the land of Egypt. I redeemed you for a people unto myself. I don't want you to be like the Egyptian. I don't want you to be like the Amorite, the Canaanite, the Perizzite, whateverites. I want you to be a whole new people. I want you to live like this. I want you to dress like this. I want you to eat like this. Whatsoever parteth the hoof and is cloven-footed and cheweth the cud among the beasts, that shall you eat. And you just keep going throughout this whole list in Leviticus 11, and God commands that Hebrew of what he is to eat. The swine is unclean. Pork, that's why the Hebrew, Orthodox Hebrews, don't eat pork or swine, pig meat. These shall ye eat of all that are in the waters. How about that? So God gives the Hebrews a law concerning fish and what they can and can't eat. And verse 13, these are they which ye shall have in abomination. And these are they which ye shall have in abomination among the fowls. They shall not be eaten. They are an abomination. The eagle. The ossifrage. I don't even know what that is right now. The osprey. I don't know what that is. We'll look it up. And the vulture. You know what God says? If a man eats an eagle, it's an abomination. You know homosexuality? Abomination. Oh yeah, eat that eagle, it's an abomination. That's what God's law says. He's holy. Keep going down here. He tells them what to eat of the fowl, the bird. Verse 20, all fowls that creep. There it is. He tells them what the land birds. In verse 22, even these of them you may eat in regards to the creeping thing, like insects or bugs. You can read that. Go down here all the way to, I mean, I'm not going to, you can read this on your own time. I'm just trying to give you the overview. You understand here what we're studying here. Go down here to verse 32. And upon whatsoever any of them, when they are dead, doth fall, it shall be unclean. God didn't want the Hebrews to eat like a dead bird or a dead animal if it was just found dead or roadkill or something like this here. Okay. Let's go ahead and go down here to verse number. This is pretty incredible when you guys read how holy God is in his law. Let's go ahead and finish here in Leviticus 11:43, and then we'll wrap it up. Ye shall not make yourselves abominable with any creeping thing that creepeth, neither shall ye make yourselves unclean with them, that ye should be defiled. For I am the Lord your God. Ye shall therefore sanctify yourselves, and ye shall be holy, for I am holy. Neither shall ye defile yourselves with any manner of creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. For I am the Lord that bringeth you up out of the land of Egypt to be your God. Ye shall therefore be holy, for I am holy. So again, according to God, this is what he dictates, because he's given them an expression of his approval. If you want to be my people, I want to be your God. This is what's going to be acceptable in my sight, and this is what's going to be a distinction among everybody else who doesn't know me, but they're going to know me through you if you obey. I'm holy. And yes, the way you eat is going to show that to the world. This is the law of the beast and of the fowl and of the every living creature that moveth in the waters and of every creature that creepeth upon the earth, to make a difference between the unclean and the clean, between the beast that may be eaten and the beast that may not be eaten. But before I close, let me just finish up here with a couple of more references and we'll end. The key verse is Leviticus 17:11. And this is how we'll connect it back to Acts 15 before we finish. Acts 17, the Bible says in verse 10, I'm sorry, Leviticus 17, verse 10, whatsoever man there be of the house of Israel, or of the strangers that sojourn among you. So now, if they're a Hebrew, right there in the land of Israel, or any stranger, you come from Africa or Europe or whoever there, that eateth any manner of blood. You see how God mentions that many times? Eating blood, eating blood. I will even set my face against that soul that eateth blood. And will cut him off from among his people. You know what God said? If he finds out through the leadership of his people that are administering the word amongst the Jews in the land of Canaan, if he finds out that you're in that land, a Jew or a Gentile, and you're eating blood, he is going to take you out. When Jesus comes back, he's going to use that law that he gave, and he's going to rule from Jerusalem with that law. He's going to take him out. Ready now, this is why. Here's the key verse. Hang in there. For the life of the flesh is in the blood. Scientists couldn't figure this out until recent. They put leeches on George Washington to try to heal him, but they sucked the blood out, right? The blood is what keeps you alive. Scientists know this. Doctors know this. You run out of blood, you're going to die. You start draining if you get in an accident. He needs blood quickly, because that's what keeps you alive. And I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls, for it is the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul. Life for life. That's why God cherishes life. And he says that life is physically and spiritually, in this sense, if it's going to be offered as a sacrifice, it's in the blood. So when you go referencing every other verse, Leviticus 17:15, Leviticus 20:25, Deuteronomy 12:15, Psalms 104, we can see now why God stresses the importance of not eating blood or things strangled an animal, because he holds that life in such a dear part of his heart. There's something about the life of the flesh which is in blood, and he doesn't want us to not only take another man's life, killing blood, life, but even the consumption of animals with blood. I don't know, this is just the way that God our creator has handed down his truths to us as his creation. All I know is what the Bible tells me to tell you, that
in Acts 15, verse number 29. If you keep yourselves, you shall do well. If you abstain from meats offered to idols, don't eat food when your neighbor or your family member says, this is for our God or this saint or whatever the case, don't eat it. Number one. Number two, and from blood, don't do it. God said that life is in the blood. Don't do it. Three, from things strangled, don't need roadkill or, you know, some kind of strangled meat in that regard. And from fornication, the sin of the body. If you keep yourselves, you shall do well. That's what it says. Pretty good guideline, amen. So we're going to continue and finish our overview of Acts because that was pretty much the meat. Everything else is Paul's missionary journey, Paul witnessing and testifying before Felix and King Agrippa and him going to Rome and a little bit more arguing with the Jews and witnessing to a Gentile here and somebody getting saved there. The rest of it is just the work of service. I just wanted to really emphasize this overview through the doctrine that we find in hopes that as Christians continue to study God's word, they don't get it twisted. And I'm really am referring to our sensational charismatic Pentecostal brethren that want to use Acts as an example for current doctrine like the Holy Ghost, spiritual prophecy, and divine authority, healing, gifts, signs, and wonders when they don't want to talk about Acts 5 of Sapphira and I forgot the other man's name, Ananias or something, Ananias dying. Obviously, God killed those people, right? Like, they don't want to include the totality. That's why we approach Acts from a historical perspective. We're going to say, wow, how was God building the church from the ground up? What did he have to do here? What did he have to do there? What did he have to write to Christians here for this purpose? And do we see that continue throughout the rest of the New Testament? And we do. Amen. All right, let's go ahead and pray. Father, we thank you for today's Bible study. We hope and pray that today was an encouragement to them that are here today and watching online. Lord, we just ask that you would help us to continue to trust your word, even if it doesn't make sense. Your Bible tells us if we do these things, we shall do well. Help our church to do well. Help our church to remain faithful to your word. We look forward to seeing you one day, Lord, so all our questions will be answered in your presence. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, church, have a blessed rest of your night. We'll hopefully see you soon.